Thank God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to His word, and we look to Him for the grace. Yeah. So let's look at the book of Ephesians, and we carry on in Ephesians. And yeah, I think we almost finished Ephesians chapter 4. Maybe we can just pick up a bit of what was hanging there, and then we'll be able to move into Ephesians chapter 5. And Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 29, the Bible speaks about, I mean, previously we looked at, you know, how we can, anyone that is stealing should not steal any longer. They may have something to share with those in need. And then the next part we are told is, do not let any unwholesome talk or, you know, corrupt communication or, you know, our mouths, you know, let nothing unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who hear, that it may give grace to those who hear. And you see, you know, the thing about the mouth, it's, we have to really guard our mouths. And I think that is what James speaks about when he speaks about the tongue. He says that the tongue is a restless evil, you know, that who will cure it and who can cure it. And also speaking about how it can set homes on fire, it can set, you know, families on fire, friends on fire, just because of our tongues. And you know, Proverbs 18:21, that the life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat its fruit. So the tongue itself has a power, in that it has, you know, the such ability that we have to guard it, because with the same mouth we praise God, but also you can find that with the same mouth we curse people, we curse human beings. And so we must always constantly ask ourselves, what is it that we are saying? Is it helpful for building others? Is it imparting grace? You know, the way, you know, does it minister grace unto the hearers? Or is it more of, you know, anger talk? Or is it more of hurtful talk? Is it more of corrupt talk? And anyone that is able to guard his mouth or to guard his tongue, you know, is able to be established, you know, in true religion, and is also able, is a complete man, is a perfect man. In fact, James calls it a perfect man. Anyone that is able to keep a guard, to keep a rail on his own tongue, is a perfect man. And God is calling us to perfection. Remember, He wants us to be perfect, meaning that He wants us to be like Him. He says, be perfect as I am perfect. He has already made you, created you in true holiness and righteousness. Then He tells you now, be holy, you know, be perfect. That means that God calls you first what you are not, then you become what He has called you. He called Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. And then He tells you, be perfect and walk blamelessly before me. So there is a call first, that God calls us, creates us. And that's why we looked at what God has done in Christ for us. And then after that, then there is us becoming it. That's, you have to walk so that those things that God has spoken come to the manifestation. You see, some people always argue, oh yeah, I know this was what was promised, this is what, you know, God spoke. But you see, unless we walk into those things that God has spoken, unless we, you know, we obey, unless we do the things that are needed, then at the end of the day, we find that we don't live those realities that God has spoken. There are realities that God has spoken that will only fully manifest when we walk accordance to what God has called us to be. That is why you find there's always that place of frustration between people who are not able to transition between where they are and where God has called them. And that unless you do something, you know, and I think the speakers that call it dealing with God, unless you decide to deal with God, unless you decide to seek His face, unless you decide to, you know, to keep your tongue out of evil, to keep your tongue from evil, That's why the scriptures are guiding us to not let any unwholesome talk. In fact, I think the other versions that speak about coarse joking and jesting. That means that there are things that we joke, but if when you go back, you will have grieved the Holy Spirit. You know, when we speak about the situation, and some things are cultural. You know, there is some people will just always be like, things are hard. You know, that is the greeting. Things are hard. But you see, that is already corrupt talk. That is already unwholesome talk that is not expected of the believer. And we are called to guard our mouths. We are called to ensure that our mouths are imparting grace. They are ministering grace. And let's by the grace of God, let's learn how we can keep our mouths and our words away from evil. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Very important verse. And this, I think, is where, as we say before, it's how you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, that you learn not to grieve him. You learn to know what are the things that make the Holy Spirit happy. What are the things that grieve him? What are the things that, you know, that give him, you know, that comfort to you? You must know how the Holy Spirit reacts within you. And that is not anything that anyone can teach you. You know, you must know when the Holy Spirit is calling you to pray. You must know when the Holy Spirit is more manifested in your heart or in your presence, when God wants to reveal things to you. You know, there are things that God wants to reveal. He is all everywhere. He is in us. He's around us. But you see, there is a time that God is more manifested in a certain place or more manifested in you. And one of the things that you must learn to do when God's presence is upon you, when his manifested presence is upon you, is to learn to respect the presence. That means that you stop what you're doing and you take a moment to either pray in tongues or to just worship, such that you can be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, all these things that we are seeing that are being talked about, that, you know, corruption, corrupt talk or unwholesome talk, falsehood, lying, anger, you know, giving the devil a foothold, if you're continuing to steal, all these things are grievances to the Holy Spirit. And I love the choice of words. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. That means that, you know, it's not like David who cried out, do not take away the Holy Spirit from me, but is about speaking about the grieving. Because when it speaks of a seal, it speaks of which, that it's a guarantee of redemption. The Holy Spirit within us is a guarantee of redemption. And in fact, anytime you find that you are guilty, or you feel that you know, there is that guilty feeling, you know, it is because the Holy Spirit within you is not happy. And the best thing that you have and you can do is just come back to him. And the Bible says, if you confess your sins before you, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. He's able to purify us from all unrighteousness. So there is that redemption that is there. There is the day of redemption. That is the time when we shall all go, you know, be with the Father, and everything shall be restored. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You know, these are things of the heart. These are sins of the heart. You know, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling is fighting, you know, and slander is speaking negative of someone else, along with every form of malice. You know, there are things that we do, and deep down, you know, that was malicious. You know, that was intended to hurt. You know, that is every form of malice. The Bible is warning the church and warning us who believe that we need to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And what is the antidote to that? We need to be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, or be kind and tender-hearted. And compassion is really a heart thing. You know, when you are compassionate about someone, that means you are tender to them, you feel their pain, you feel their struggle, you understand what are the things that they are going through, that you put yourself in someone else's shoe. And when you do that, then you are able to be compassionate, you're able to be tender-hearted, you're able to be kind. You know, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being manifested, forgiving each other, you know, just as Christ forgave you, or just as Christ has forgiven you. That means that if you can think of how Christ has forgiven you, how much Christ has forgiven you, then you can also say how much you can also forgive someone else. You know, it's linking us that anyone that has truly been forgiven loves much, should forgive much. But you see, the parable of the unmerciful servant, it tells us of this servant who was forgiven for just a small amount of money. And he cried to the king, and the king forgave him and wrote off his debt. But then he went and found his friend, and he was angry with him. In fact, the amount that the friend owed was even less than what he was forgiven. He was angry with him, he beat him up and throws him in jail and until he pays. And when the king heard about it, because the servants went and told the king was angry and said, "I had mercy on you. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant?" That means that as Christ forgave us, we are called to walk in forgiveness. And you see, forgiveness is not just in words. Forgiveness is really when something no longer hurts you. That's I think that I came across that how do you know you've truly forgiven? When it is spoken about it, that it no longer hurts you. When something no longer hurts you, not because you've chosen to ignore the hurt, that because truly you have let go. When even our actions show that we are not hurt, because you can easily say you've forgiven, but you see there is inner resentment. There is a way that you can react to someone, and you know, if you are to be honest with yourself, that there's still unforgiveness in your heart. There's still, you know, a form of resentment. There is still a way you reacted as if someone who is offended. And these things are sins of the heart. These are the secret faults. And one of the prayers of David is, keep me from secret faults. May they not rule over me, that may I not, you know, be a victim to them. So God is really interested in the heart. And that's why if we look at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible says, follow God's example, or be followers of God as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So you see, the example of God is this. The example of God in forgiveness is this, is the way of love. So I say, walk in the way of love, or walk in love as Christ has loved and has given himself us for an offering and sacrifice to God. When you truly love someone, you will sacrifice for them. Love is really sacrifice. Love is, you know, forgiveness. Love is showing mercy. Love is sacrifice. Love is doing things, you know, for others, for the sake of others, to make their, you know, their life easier and better. And you see, love is really a sacrifice. That means it will cost you something. You see, when we speak of David, says, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord something that does not cost me." When we truly love someone, it costs us something. It will cost us in terms of money. It will also cost us in terms of time. But also, it will also cost us in terms of pride. It will cost us in terms of our own convenience. You know, there is that thing in us that has to die. When we say we love God, there are things in us that have to die. But also, when we say that we love our spouses or our children, there is something within us that has to die, because you will have to let go of certain comforts. When you love your friends, when you love, you know, when you are compassionate for others, then there's always a price to pay for it. And God is saying, follow God's example. What was God's example? He gave his best. While we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. He did not wait for us to, you know, to turn to him, but he was already available. He stretched out his hand. He did the first thing first. Then we respond to love. Even when you think of salvation, you will realize that it is actually God that wooed us first. It is God who showed us his faithfulness. You can see someone is, you're living in sin, you're doing all this, but God was still blessing you. God was still showing you that he is available, that he's faithful. Why? Because he's trying to win you over by love. There is a way that God acts. There's a way that God works in forgiveness, because he knows forgiveness is a foundation of love. When you truly forgive, and in fact, even for married couples, it's good to purpose to have forgiveness in your heart, that you even forgive in advance, that you even know that you have a future bank of forgiveness. Because as long as you walk with someone, the reality is you're going to step on their feet. The reason why it will hurt the most, it's because you love them. That is why it hurts the most. You know, if someone outside the world touches you or hurts you, it doesn't hurt as much, because at the end of the day, they're not close to you. But the person that is really close to you, when they hurt you, oh, it pains, it stings. And the reason why it stings, it's because you are in love, and because you love them and they are close to you. And if two people are walking together, the nearer they are, the easier it is to step on each other's toes. So we must always know, remember we say, marriage is given by God to refine us, to purify us, to make us perfect in character, to make us perfect in behavior, to make us perfect both through and through, both to the public eye and also to the private eye. Because in marriage, your private world is seen and made known. And in public, you might hide it, but in private, it is your spouse that will tell us that you are born again. And so we ask ourselves, are we truly born again? Are we living that life that is born again? Are we, you know, living a true life that even those that are close to us can truly testify that we have been transformed from the old man into the new man? So we have a place, we have a place and the guidance is to walk in love as God did, to forgive as Christ forgave you, you know, to not let any of these things live in us, to put away the old man and to put on the new man that is created in true righteousness and holiness. I'll stop here and I pray that God will continue to give us guidance and insight into all this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mario. I think it's very clear. Thank you for the great reminder.
No. Yes, go ahead.
I said thank you. No additions from myself.
Okay, brother. Let's thank God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the strength. Thank you for the grace. Do not take it for granted. You are a God of mercy and truth. You direct our steps. You watch over us. You renew our strength. Thank you for the week that continues to be, that indeed we look unto you. You are our Father, our all in all. You are our King. May you guide our steps, watch over us, protect and keep us. Remember our family members, be with them. Watch over our families, watch over our children. Indeed, we pray for protection, keeping and strengthening, O God, as we go ahead and do that which we need to do, that your hand and presence goes ahead of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed morning.